I want you to get your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Once you find 1 Samuel 17, I'd like for you to find verse number 26. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 26. Stand with me, if you would, please. We stand out of reverence to the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 26. And the Bible says this, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" One of the most famous stories in the Bible is about David and Goliath. I do want to point something out to you. David's brother gets mad at David because David was supposed to be home tending the sheep. He came down to see a battle. His brother said, "I know, David, you're being naughty. You came to watch the battle." No, David didn't come to watch battle. He came to clean things up. Eliab was very off base. David wasn't a watcher. He was a doer. I'm going to preach to you today from verse number 29, where David asks a question. Is there not a cause? And let me pray. Father, bless us now. I want your help. God, I'm so tired of weak religion. I'm so tired of a Christianity that's numb, uninterested, spoiled. Holy Ghost of God, reach down into this auditorium and do something spectacular, supernatural, life-changing. Help someone to leave that position of life of neutrality and get involved in the spiritual war. Now, help everyone to give their attention to the preaching. Help the young people. There are some here that have not been in church much. They're not trained much. Help them to understand the importance of their attentiveness, their quietness, as we have this church service. God, strengthen my heart, strengthen my mind, so that you're glorified in the next few minutes, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can have a seat there. The sermon today, there are Christians that have what I'm going to talk about, and there are Christians that do not have what I'm going to talk about. I think the sermon's concept, it's one of the differences between being average or less than average and being above average. The idea that I'll share with you, it's one of the differences between being good or being great in what we do. I think what I say to you today, many people finish a job. I'm not trying to just finish the job. I'd like the job to be done in an outstanding way when it's finished. With the Lord, I think many a Christian will finish. But I don't think God's going to say to everybody, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, for some, you're just going to have to accept the word, "Done." We're not striving to have God say, "You're done." We should be striving for God to say, "Well done." In this passage of Scripture that is the main verse, David makes a statement. He says, "Is there not a cause?" That's what I'm going to call the sermon today. I've got a lot of territory to travel. I'm going to travel it quickly, so please stay with me. This is one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible. David is a young man. He's tending to his father's flocks. David goes to where there is a battle on. His brothers have gone off to a battle that's a battle with the Philistines. The big, powerful man among the Philistines was a man by the name of Goliath. Goliath, according to the Bible, is at least 9 foot. He may be as much as 9 foot 9 inches tall. And he was not just voted most likely to succeed among the Philistines and therefore found himself as their champion, he fought his way to the top. He not only was champion in title, he was champion in power. Goliath is the enemy of God and God's army, and Goliath is mocking and threatening and teasing God's people and threatening and teasing the Israelite army. David was supposed to be watching his father's flocks, but his dad said, David, I want you to take some supplies down and get it to your brothers, and I'm going to get you some bread and some cheese and some Krispy Kreme apple pies, and we're going to send them down there for you. And David, he's fruitcakes of the devil, Brother Morgan. And so David gathers up the stuff. He runs down to where the battle is going to be held. When he gets there, Eliab, his oldest brother, gets on him. He said, you ought to be at home. You're just a kid. And Eliab said, I know what's going on with you. You're just here. You just came down because you wanted to watch the battle. And Goliath then again mocks and threatens God's army. And David, he said, somebody needs to stop him from talking like that. Somebody needs to stop this Goliath from causing everyone to cower in their boots. And somebody needs to step up. And this Goliath guy, he's mocking God's leaders and he's mocking God and he's mocking that for which we stand. And his oldest brother, he said, boy, David, you just need to go home and attend to the sheep. And then David said there in 1 Samuel 17:29, David said, is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason why we ought to win this battle? Well, not long after that, David steps up and he by himself goes to battle with Goliath. Now, he was definitely out of his weight class. But David didn't let that stop him. David ends up slaying this champion of the Philistines named Goliath. You say, how did he do it? Well, he conquered the champion because God was with him. But I also believe this. I think one of the motivating forces, I think some of the energy behind David was that he had a cause. You go to do something with a cause, and you go to do that same thing without a cause, I'll promise you, with a cause, you'll get more done. In Job chapter 13, verse number 18, Job used these words. He said, I have ordered my cause. Let me tell you something about Job. Job suffered like no man in history ever suffered. But he did it, and he did it with great dignity, and he did it very powerfully. Job is still to this day affecting Christians just by the way Job suffered. Say, how did Job go through everything that Job went through? And he did it with dignity and with poise, and he didn't lose his testimony. Well, he had a cause. He just said it. He said, I've ordered my cause. He said, I'll go through whatever I have to go through because there's something bigger than me at stake. I have a cause. Job 5:8, he said this, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 59, it says, O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong, judge thou my cause. Now, what does the word cause mean? Your cause is your reason behind what you do. Your cause is a part of your motivation behind what you do. Something that brings about the result that you're seeking. Your cause. A cause is your purpose. Your cause, it's more than your purpose. It's your purpose plus some. Plus some. Do you have a purpose plus some? You ever met somebody that's got a purpose? It's not just a purpose. There's something behind that. There's more energy behind that. There's more electricity behind it. They've got a purpose and they've got a cause, but it's not a lame everyday cause. There's something big going on in their heart. There's something big going on in their mind. You ever found a church? There are churches that say, well, we want to make it to the end. I don't want to just make it to the end. I want to go out in a flame of glory. I want God to look down and look at the church and say, you know what? They were fighting for right and doing right all the way to the end. Somebody had a passion. Somebody had a cause at that church. Something that's missing in many Christians' lives today. Say, I want to make it to the end. I don't want to just make it to the end. I have a cause. I have a purpose. I'm trying to get something done. A cause is something that ignites an extra drive. A cause is something that kicks into gear, an extra intensity. A cause is not just a task that could be done, but it's a task that must be done. And I must be a part of it. What's the spiritual cause for which you give yourself? What electrifies you? What energizes you? Is there anything? Are you just lame, walking through life? Maybe not toting a Bible, showing up for church every once in a while. I've got news for you. David went down in history because David said, "Is there not a cause?" All the other soldiers, they were soldiers. They weren't doing anything. David said, "Somebody ought to do something about this." They said, "You need to go home and tend the sheep. You're just here to watch the war." He said, "I'm not here to watch the war, but I am cause-minded." David's the one that slew the Goliath. Your cause gives you motivation to do right. I've noticed that the people who have a cause find it easier to do right. People that have a spiritual cause, they fight harder to do right. I'm going to tell you why some of you are failing in your Christian life, and you keep going back to the old life and keep failing, and I'll tell you why. You don't have a cause. If you had a cause, you'd be fighting harder to succeed. Cause draws out of someone something that's deep inside them that will cause them to succeed. Noah found a cause when he built an ark. He was a preacher of righteousness. Moses found a cause when he led God's people out of the wilderness and Pharaoh's captivity. Hey, Mary had a cause. She needed to be pure and virgin. Why? Hey, she wanted God to use her, and God did. She became the mother and the body that bare the Christ child. She had a cause. Esther had a cause. She helped to spare the life of God's people from the gallows. And Elijah had a cause when he called down fire from the sky and defeated all the prophets of Baal. Peter finally got himself a cause, and he made a comeback from a backslidden condition, and he preached and had 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost. I'll tell you what, you don't go out and have 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost without a cause. You don't just mosey down to the church and just hope that God will do something today and have that humdrum, everyday, boring type of Christianity. No, Peter had a cause. Moses had a cause. Elijah had a cause. There was a cause. Hey, Jesus had a cause. You better thank God that Jesus had a cause, because it took him to the grave and up out of the grave. He had a cause. Say, what was his cause? He loved you. Is there not a cause? I got to analyzing myself a little bit. I want to thank God for what success I've had in the ministry. There are thousands, millions that have had more success. But if I analyzed it, one of the things that have been a part of my life since I was a 16-year-old preacher boy, I've had a cause. It's real to me. Folks, if you're a guest here today, I'm not playing religion. We're not here to get it over with. We're not here trying to figure out how to get out. We're here trying to figure out how to get in. I analyzed myself a little bit. I looked at some of the causes that I've had through the years. In Job chapter 5, verse number 8, Job, he said, "I commit my cause." Job was committed to a cause. I remember my first cause when I got saved. I wanted my family to get saved. I got saved. I was a 16-year-old boy, and the preacher got up and told me there was a hell. And if people didn't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. Well, by the time I freaked out, I said, "Wait a minute, my brothers, my family." And I said, "Well, I'm going to do whatever I need to do, because I want to see my family get saved." And through the years, it's been a passion. I don't play religion, because if there really is a heaven and there really is a hell, and I don't want my family to go to hell, I don't want them to look at me and think, it's a game. No, it's not a game. It's real. I thank God to this moment, to this day, every brother, every sister, every brother-in-law, every sister-in-law, every one of my grandparents through the years have all been saved. Amen. What would you say? Why? Cause? I got saved and I had a cause. I wouldn't play in church. Then someone told me that I could start running a bus and going around picking up little boys and girls. I was 16 years of age. He said, you could bring them to church and they could get saved. That became a cause for me. I get up on Sunday morning and I get that bus and we'd go pick up boys and girls and bring them to church. And I'd stand up on the bus and tell them about Jesus. It became a cause to me. I became a youth director. It became a cause to me. Wasn't long after that, God called me to preach. And it became a cause. You say, well, what was one of your causes? When I was 16 and called to preach, one of my causes was I wanted to stay old-time religion and stay faithful to the old-time religion and my roots. And I've had all sorts of associates through the years. I've bailed out on the King James Bible and bailed out on the Baptist Church and bailed out on standards and convictions. I've not bailed out. You say, why? I have a cause. I'm committed to that. And I committed myself a long time ago. It's a part of my cause. I started an adult Sunday school class many, many years ago. It's called the Sweetheart Couples Class. It became a cause to me. I wanted to help families. I wanted to help husbands and wives stay together. It became a cause, a passion. I became an assistant pastor. It became a cause. I wanted to be loyal. I wanted to promote unity. I'd heard about so many assistant pastors that did nothing but cause grief in churches. And you know what? I decided I don't want to be like that. I want to go and I want to serve my pastor and I want to serve people. And I want the church to be better because of me, not worse because of me. And I'm not going to compete with the other leaders in my church. We're going to be a unified team. And it became a cause. I wanted to be loyal and productive. Then I became a pastor. You say, well, now what's your cause? You are my cause. It might be hard for you to believe. I live for this. I don't know what all the other preachers, I don't know what their life's all about. I live for this. I dream it. I wake up in the morning and I pray and I'm. This is my life. It's my cause. I believe America is a cause worth saving. We might not be able to go save everybody in all the states, but you know what? If it's possible, start a revival right here. Let's do it. Let's do what we can. Let's contribute what we can. I analyze myself and what little success I've had through the years. I'll promise you it came because I not only had a purpose, I had a cause. There was something a little more to it than just this needs to be done. No, it needs to be done. It needs to be done right. It needs to be done with tenacity and drive and passion. There's so many people out there that no longer believe in the church and no longer believe in the things of God. And I'll tell you why. Because the preachers no longer believe. They've just about sold out. I want somebody to walk in the back door of our church and come into this auditorium and say, you know what? That was real. That was real. But I really feel like God had a part in that. Instead of a time of entertainment where we walk in and we tap our foot to the music, we smile, tell a joke, tell a poem, and we go home and we didn't get moved, we didn't get changed. You say, Pastor, some days I leave here feeling bad. Good. If you're not right with God, you're supposed to feel bad about it. Pastors want to rub everybody's head and pat them on the belly and send them out and tell them everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine if you don't get right with God. But I analyzed myself. I've had some causes. Let me tell you this. Secondly, your cause gives you an additional reason to do right and to live right. Do you have a cause? The Bible says in Psalm 35, verse 23, stir up thyself. And awake to my judgment, even unto my cause. It says, stir up yourself. That cause will stir you up. And I said, secondly, your cause gives you an additional reason to do right and to live right. Now, let me make something very clear to you. We should do right because it's right to do. Do right because it's right to do. But the cause intensifies your drive for doing right. Look, that cause helped me to stay on the straight and narrow. I didn't want to be a hypocrite around my lost family because My cause was to get them saved. Now, some of you, if you would get a passion and you would take on the cause that you have lost family members, some of you would knock it off and live right. Because some of your family members are going to look at you as you just mess around in Christianity. And your family members don't think this is a serious deal. They need to see that you mean business about your Christianity. My cause helped me to want to stay right with God. Look, you know, I did not want to be a hypocrite around my bus kids because I wanted to see their lives change. I didn't want to reach people on my bus route so I could walk around the church and say, I've got the biggest bus route in the church. Boy, I'm a really powerful leader. I want to see little boys and girls' lives changed. It's my cause. My cause was, hey, I've never had a cause to have a big church. Ever. Never. Say, what's your cause? It's people. It's the lives of people. It's helping people to become better and have victory in their lives, to keep them out of hell. As a parent, I wanted to help my kids. I wanted them to be raised in a home where we didn't make excuses. We went to church. We were loyal. We were faithful. And I stayed in church. My children have never heard me badmouth other people in the church. Never heard me badmouth my pastor. Ever. Didn't do that. Why? I didn't want my kids to think we're all a bunch of hypocrites, walk around dicing each other up with our long tongue. We didn't do that. It's part of my cause. Folks, your cause gives you an additional reason to do right. I didn't only want to do right just to do right, but I did right also because there was a cause involved and there was something I was trying to accomplish. You see, I looked at my causes and I noticed that my causes helped me to do right. It gave me more passion for doing right. Listen to this very carefully, folks. People without a cause really don't see a lot of reason to live right. People without a cause, really, they don't see a lot of reason to live right. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 36, it says, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Look, have you no spiritual cause? Or have you forgotten your cause? Or has your cause possibly, maybe it is, you used to have a cause about something, but your life has changed so much, that cause is no longer available. Have you gotten a new cause? Causeless people make very poor decisions in life. Very poor. Folks, let me explain something to you. Every decision you make could affect your cause. But see, you make all your decisions based on how will it affect my money? How will it affect my taste buds? How will it affect my ego? I've tried to make my decisions based on how will it affect the cause. Say, what cause? The cause of Jesus Christ. People without causes can make some of the stupidest decisions in life. You know, before I would take my family anywhere, I would want to make sure there was the right kind of church there. But I know people that will pack up and move all over the place just for money. That's not a cause. Listen, causeless people end up with poor friendships. They end up being friends with other causeless people. One causeless person added to another causeless person does not create a cause. It's a double justification of being a lazy, unfocused Christian. Because life's really all about you and can't be about anything else, huh? Bad friendships frustrate good causes. I try to be friendly with all preachers. I build my friendships with preachers that have a cause. Because I don't want them to wear, I don't want someone to try to wear down the cause. Since I was 16, I've worked at this thing of staying after the causes of Jesus Christ. I don't want to lose that. Causeless people only care about the moment. Causeless people have few spiritual goals for the future. They're just interested in what will make me happy now.
They're not worried about today's decision hurting their cause somewhere down the line. They're just worried about how well my today decision, what will it get for me now? What will it mean to me now? Will it make my body tingle now? Will it increase my bank account now? Will it do something for my ego now? Every decision you make affects your cause, if you even have one. That's why I'm trying to be very cautious about my decisions. Why? I have a cause. I'm guarding that cause. I'm protecting that cause. Causeless people live carnal lives. Causeless people live carnal, fleshly lives. Causeless people are more apt to sin. When you don't have a cause, you have no fear that your lifestyle or your decisions will affect your cause. Hey, look, if you don't have a cause, who cares how you live? If you don't have a cause, what's the difference what decision you make? But you know something? If you've got a cause, every decision could derail your cause. Every decision could deplete from your cause. Every sin could slow down your cause. But what's your cause? When hardship comes, causeless people feel like there's need to keep going. Why fight back? There's nothing to fight for. When causeless people stumble in sin, sometimes they see no reason to get right with God. Let me tell you something. We're all sinners. And that I've tried to keep my eye on my cause and the causes God's given me. When I stumble and do something stupid that I should not do, I shake myself and get up and say, oh my, I've got to get this right. You say, I could get off track. I have a cause. And I can't stay. I can't stay in this sinful condition. I can't stay in this backslidden condition. I have a cause. But you know what? With no cause, you just lay there and feel sorry for yourself. Lick your wounds. Get up. If you've got a cause, get up. There's a battle to fight. Get up. There's people to help. Get up. There's lives to change. Get up. God needs some people with a cause that will say, I'm not playing Christianity. I mean this. I mean it all the way to the end. I'm glad I got some causes when I was a young man. Brother Pine, I've done everything I know to do to guard those causes. I try to protect those causes. I try to keep those causes pure. I try to keep those causes alive, alert. So, I say to you, your cause gives you an additional reason to live right. Not only that, people without a cause, many times, they don't have any reason to get back up. They have no reason to keep on going. You say, well, preacher, what kind of causes could we be talking about? Well, let me tell you this. Isaiah 41:12, Isaiah said, produce your cause. Produce your cause. A cause is not an inanimate object that you look at. Your cause is not really much a noun. It's a verb. It's action. You take that is your cause and you make it a part of you. It's what you're living for. It's what you're striving for. It's where you're going. It's where God would have you to go. It's what you're supposed to accomplish. It's your testimony. It's what does God want you to do with your life. There are some causes I think we all should have. I think our ultimate cause ought to be to please God. That's a cause. If I could just get everybody to say, that's what I want. My ultimate cause is to please God. Well, that means it's not to please your bank account. It's not to please the glands in your body. It's not to please somebody else. Please God. But that's a cause we should all have. I think everybody's supposed to have the cause of winning others to Jesus Christ. The Bible's very clear. We're all to be witnesses. If you're a Christian, you already have been assigned a cause from God. That is, you're to tell others about Jesus Christ. Hey, every wife here, you ought to have a cause to be a great wife. Is it a great wife? A great wife. Is that your cause? Do you know who makes a good wife? A wife that said, I will be a great wife. It'll be my passion. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be that. I'll be what I'm supposed to be. It's my cause. You don't find people like that anymore. You don't find people want to be great wives anymore. You don't find people want to be great husbands anymore. We're just so lethargic, lazy, fat and sassy with a spoiled economy and everything else. What's your passion? Hey, I want to be a loyal, productive church member. part of my cause. So what we all ought to, hey, every young man in here, you ought to have a cause of being an obedient, godly child to your parents. That ought to become your cause. Let me tell you why some of you young men and some of you young ladies, the reason why you're a headache to your parents is you don't have a cause of being an obedient child. Your life's all about you. The young men and young ladies that turn out right, that do right, they had a cause. They wanted to be pure. They wanted to be decent. They wanted to tell the truth. They wanted to honor their mom. They wanted to honor their dad. And no matter what came in life, they decided, that's what I'm going to do. And if people mock me and make fun of me, hey, and if I'm considered a square, that's okay. I am going to fulfill the cause of being a child that my parents can be proud of. But it's got to become a cause. Got to have a cause to be trustworthy, honest, and dependable. And these are causes we all ought to have. You got to have a cause to be a good parent. You got to have a cause in regard to being a good example to the other Christians. But you know, there are other causes. When God called me to preach, God gave me a unique cause. I've never wanted to be famous. I just like to be faithful all the way to the end. That's all. But that's part of my cause. Missionaries, keep after it now. Don't give up on the souls of men. There are causes. I think we have some young people in our church. We've got some young men that have been called to preach. And I'm so honored to think we got about a half a dozen young men around here that feel like God's laid His hand upon their life to be preachers. Boys, you better get you a cause, because the devil's coming at you with everything he has. He'll try to stop you. He'll try to get you to give up your cause. Don't you do it. I think there are causes. I mean, wow, young men, young ladies that want to serve God full time, that's a wonderful thing. I wish everybody in here would say, I'm going to let my cause be that I'm going to stay right with God and I'm going to stay in the old time religion all the way to the end. I'm promising you, from the looks of the way some people behave and think, you will not be in an old time religion church by the end of next year. Why? You're not committed to it. It's not your cause. Make a difference for Jesus Christ. Hey, I think somebody could have a cause. Build a Sunday school class. I wish you really knew what Jeff Owens thinks of Jeff Owens. I don't have a real high opinion of him. I have a very high opinion of the Bible. And I believe a cause can take a low life, worthless person like me and help me to succeed. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is and what the promises of the Bible make available to us. I was given an empty room years ago. My pastor said, do you think you could get some adults to come to a Sunday school class? I said, I'll do my best. He said, Jeff, he said, it's a big deal. That class could help carry this church into the next generation. I really need you to sink your heart into it. And Mrs. Owens and I, we took it on as a cause, didn't we, sweetheart? Passion. Our very first Sunday, we had 14 people that came to our Sunday school class. Our last Sunday, we had 514. Would have been the second largest church in our state had it not just been a Sunday school class. And they were all adults. They were young married couples. You say, how does that happen? A cause. It's cause. I'm cause-oriented. See, I'm not trying to take on my causes. I'm trying to take on His causes. You say, how do you do it? Well, look, if He gives you the cause, He gives you the strength. Somebody needs to take on the cause of building your class and the cause of building your bus route. Listen, people say you cannot have revival in this day. I say they can't. But you show me a church that has a cause. There's no stopping that. David said of Goliath, fellas, isn't there a cause? And everybody else said, What are we going to do about it? How are you going to handle this? I believe the reason why David is the one that slew Goliath. I know God was with him, but God was not just with him. David was with God. He said, let's go do this. David and God had a cause. One of the most powerful stories in the whole Bible. What made David a success that day? I believe there were other people there that God was with. Right? Those were God's people. Oh, but David, he had a big old dose of cause going on for him. I was reading the other day, a mother had been in an accident, and even though her child was in a car seat, that child somehow, when the accident came, that child had ended up on the outside of the car. The car had rolled over on that child. And the mother screamed for help. There was nobody there. And then she went over and lifted the car off of her child. The paramedic said, ma'am, that passion that was inside you is what made the difference. What kind of passion do you have inside you? That will make the difference. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, I wish you'd come today. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I promise. You say, I'm not saved. If you'll put your hand up, I'll pray for you. How many of you could say, Pastor, I am saved. I know I'm saved. And I want to raise my hand and let God see it. I'm saved and I know I am. Would you raise your hand? Hands up all over the place. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Listen to this question. What is your spiritual cause? What's your spiritual cause? Somebody here needs to get a cause. A spiritual cause. I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm not talking about satisfying the glands of your body. What's your cause for the purpose of Jesus Christ? The church. Who here would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart today. I know that God just spoke to me in this service in a unique and a special way. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Oh, yeah. There are hands up everywhere. Your cause. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, I want you to come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are causeless, maybe you need to come down here, get on your knees and say, oh, God, help me stop just stumbling through life. Help me to get a cause. Lord, I don't live right, but I see why. I'm so self-centered. I need to get a spiritual cause. If you need the altar, we're going to ask you to come. Hey, if you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, if you're an adult, we could baptize you today. We can make baptism available to you today. Hey, listen to this. If you've been saved and baptized and you never joined the church, you ought to do that. That's what the Bible teaches. Or is that not your cause? People that have made this church their cause are committed to it. Productive. Solid. Get a cause. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Do you need to come and push the reset button on your cause? Some mom, some dad. You take on the cause of raising your children for Jesus. Wives, husbands, you need to get the cause straightened out in your life. Christian, you have a cause of a bus route or a cause of a Sunday school class or a cause for winning souls? Or are you just so self-centered, so self-interested, it's all about you? That's it. This world will not be changed by causeless people, but by those with a cause. If you need the altar, you come.
If you have been saved and you're adult, never baptized, and you'd like to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we have baptistry robes ready. We're getting ready to baptize them in. You come. If you've been saved and baptized and you're not a member of the church, and I don't want you to come if you don't want to be here. God knows I don't need people to join my church that don't want to be a part of it. I've got some of those. I'd rather have the ones that want to be here. One thing I would warn you join my church, we're not playing religion. We mean it. It won't be much longer. This invitation will come to a conclusion. But let me tell you something. People with a cause are not real worried if we have a few extra minutes at church because people are getting saved and lives are being changed. Causeless people can't wait to get McDonald's. Get me out of here as fast as we can. That's causeless. That's glandular satisfaction. You want your taste bud to be satisfied more than you want the spiritual need of someone satisfied. Just in case you didn't know, preachers all used to preach like this. Now they're in the habit of pleasing everybody and helping everybody leave with a tingly feeling when they leave church. Maybe there's sometimes you ought to leave and you ought to be under conviction. You ought to go home and say, I need to get some things straightened out. I need to re-gear my life so I'm thinking right. One more time through the song.